Victory is such a lonely word. Today we're talking about The Chariot, Wars and Rumors of Wars, released in 2009. We are Blender Style. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
What happened? Did your CD skip?
The Chariot is a band that I've been listening to ever since like the start of them because of the band Norma Jean. Josh okay. Goggin is the original vocalist to Norma Jean. And that's how I got turned on to it. And what I really loved about it when I first heard it was the first album is recorded, I believe, in like, you know, like one take.
Really?
And it's very live setting. And it definitely sounds like that. I'm sure they like set it up like to record.
Right.
But it was one take and they did it. And I love it because it's so punk rock, you know? It's like, this is what we're doing, especially like the first thing that you're releasing, you know what I'm saying? So if you have a chance, check it out.
That's kind of like the Slightly Stupid album we reviewed.
Yeah, it is.
It's all
but this is
way
this
different
is,
music. Yeah. Not even, it's like almost opposite.
Yeah, these guys are not smoking weed.
Right. No.
It sounds like they might be. But, anyways, they're.
This is their third album, right?
Yes, this is their third album, and the reason... Sorry, I'm long-winded. So, the reason why I wanted to pick this album, though, is because their third album, mm-hmm. and I feel like this is, like, the most pummeling of the albums.
Okay.
And I felt like if you could, like, get through this, which it's a rad record, and there's a lot of things that maybe we'll talk about a bit, I wanted to see if you can get through the pummeling of, you know, The Chariot.
So, I was curious, like... So you as a fan recognize this as being like relentless and like difficult to listen to. You're like,
yes.
You're describing it as pummeling. So you know,
yes.
It's like rough to get into.
Yes. I would say that this is not for the faint of heart.
It did take me a while.
Mm-hmm.
What genre is this? Hardcore? Mathcore?
Okay. So
metalcore? What is
it's
this?
Like kind of a mix, huh?
So I'm a fan of this band. So people have always tried to throw labels at this band, mathcore being one of them. Josh Goggin saying that mathcore doesn't make any.
Josh Goggin doesn't think mathcore makes sense.
Yeah, Josh Goggin doesn't think mathcore makes sense because of that would be like, you know, like thought out and.
But this
know,
is
precise.
Very mathcore feeling. It has like a very mathcore feel.
Yes. But anyways, what I love about his description of it is heavy punk rock. Like he's like, it's punk, you know, and it's all about the live experience more than the recordings. It's about the energy of what's going on, you know? And I kind of think he's kind of right. To me, this feels very punk, but I get the labels.
It feels very punk, but it has like traces of hardcore
for sure,
and it has like hints of math, kind of mathcore in there. But
like Dillinger, right?
Kind of, and then it also to touch
Dillinger
on what you said,
being more probably technical.
Yeah. Right, and this is, okay.
This is very stop, very go.
Yeah.
You know, there's off-timing and stuff, but I would not say that it's...
It's very off-timing.
It's not,
and
it's not thought
but
out.
It's not like, I call it mathcore because what's interesting to me is it's like, it doesn't sound like they suck at playing. Like some bands, their timing is weird. It's just because they can't. Like to be off-time together requires some technique like Dillinger does or bands like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me these guys are like less thought out about it and like the like weird timing bits.
Yeah.
It's not improvised, right? They obviously practice.
But this comes off very improvised. Like
very
live.
It's an art project.
Yeah. Very live.
It seems like it would be hard to improvise this.
It's heavy velvet underground.
Oh, dude. And the
heavy velvet underground?
Yeah, it's very experimental. It's
when they slow down and they kind of do those groovy fucking ambient kind of things going on.
It catches.
It gets that jam band vibe. Like they're just dudes having fun.
Yeah, kind of like...
I mean, this sounds very serious, though. To me, it doesn't, like... I get what you're saying, like, having fun. So, The Chariot is known to be a live band. They know they're a live band.
Well, let me rephrase it. Not necessarily having fun, but like that. Like, it feels live.
Yeah. Totally. So, I've seen this band three times. Mm-hmm. And wow. One of the times I saw them here at Jerry's Pizza. And
bad venue. I mean, it's great, but it's...
Oh, it was great to see them in it.
It's great, but
and,
it's
like, the rough. Bass player, which is... I saw him on this tour. And they called him Wolf. And, like, they were jumping on their amps. And at points, he was, like, rocking his amp back and forth. And his bass was in between him and the bass. And it was just... And it just made so much sense and, like, went... But it was probably... Just something that he just,
yeah,
it's instantly done, you know,
like
what
just
I mean?
Having fun, instinct went out yeah. there and like, let's screw around and do this, and it came off good.
So, yeah. does you have to see this live for this to make more sense?
I don't, I think it brings people to the live show, and that's what they want. But no, I think I feel emotion in this. I feel, mm-hmm.
yeah,
especially if you guys check out some of the other albums, like when this came out. His father had Josh Goggins' father had recently passed away, and he talks about like this is kind of like one of the like darker kind of, you know what I mean, albums for him. Which reading it, I don't know if you guys got into the, did you guys get into the lyrics at all?
I didn't get into the lyrics.
I read them, but it, you know, I suck.
they're actually really awesome, and okay. if you even like, you know, if you get on Spotify or whatever, and it like goes yeah. with it and stuff, I think you start to break down. Like what is so good about it? You know okay. what I mean? Like the poetic, you have this guy, it's like beatnik stuff, right? It's somebody on a bongo going crazy nuts. And then this guy out there,
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. To me it does. I mean,
okay.
What do you guys think? I'm sorry. Obviously I love this band and
well, the vocals were hard for me to get over. It's very shouty, relentless. It doesn't fucking let up a lot of the time. Even when the band lets up, he's still just like shouting and stuff. It turned me off a little bit at yeah. first, but it did grow on me. I feel like this is like deeper than it's. It reminds me of like Imperial Triumphant. Like the first time I listened to it, I'm like, "What the
fuck?" Yeah, it's just so much going on.
But as I keep listening to it, I like it more.
What a comparison! That's cool.
And I get more out of it, especially like towards the middle, Abandon, track 7, like when they really kind of like bring it back, like kind of dial it down a little bit. It kind of as an album, it gets like that makes the album interesting. It makes like. Enduring all the chaos early kind of payoff.
Yeah.
It's just, I still don't know what's going on.
Uh-huh. See, for me, the vocals are what drew me into this. That's the part that really? I immediately liked awesome. On it. But I kind of feel you like the vocals are to me the highlight of this. The ambient parts are what kind of tie everything together and bring it all in when they slow it down and bring it back and like kind of show their musicianship, because there's so much going on during the heavier fast parts that you're kind of like blindsided and you don't know what's really going on. Mm-hmm. But I also love that there's like this energy to it. Like you said, it feels live even though it's recorded, and you could feel the energy that this band had in the studio doing it. The only issue I have with it is because of the screaming vocals through the whole thing, it gets really samey kind of feeling throughout. Mm-hmm. Like towards the end of it, you're kind of like, okay, let's like get something different going on.
I would like to just say that's kind of why I wanted to say, if you like read along with it and you read the words that he's actually saying, he kind of, it's...
It makes sense that he's screaming. And
he's kind of like with every...
Oh, really?
Like... Every hit almost in some parts, and you're kind of like, whoa. I don't know. I actually recently discovered this about it.
Some parts he's like, he's almost like moaning or like, that's like a whiner, like yeah. not whining, but like, it's like, yeah, it just, it sounds fucked up, and I would kept listening to it because it does, the emotion comes across.
Yeah.
He's just like putting it all out there. And it's like, some things, you know, even though the music's chill and you're screaming about some things, you gotta scream, even though it's like chill, you know, at the top of your lungs. And
well, I think if you guys look at some of the lyrics, it makes sense too, because like you just said, even if it's good or happy or whatever, you're yelling and you're screaming. It's almost kind of like he's like kind of making you aware of things. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we need to kind of be yelled at. And I know what it's like to feel like screaming at a wall, right?
Yeah.
And then finally just like every motherfucker's getting it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't familiar with this band at all, really.
Yeah.
And then I caught that he was in Norma Jean. And your brother, Kai, I think listens to Norma Jean.
I think so, yeah.
Probably Curtis, too.
Maybe.
I was like, okay, I'll give that a spin. I remember listening to Norma Jean back in, like, early 2000.
Okay.
And I thought it was, like, I didn't like it.
It was too hardcore back. Like,
it was too hardcore. Yeah. I listen to it now. I really like it. Yeah. And I was like, wow.
It's weird how your musical taste changes as you get older.
What?
You don't go more mellow, you go more hardcore.
Yeah.
Well, what's cool about this, too, is this project was definitely a passion project for him, because when he quit Norma Jean, Norma Jean was about to...
implode?
No, get big.
Oh, really?
Bigger, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He kind of, like, walked away from it in the sense of, like, you know, I'm just not really feeling this. I'm going to go do something that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And he's gone on to do other projects after this. Like, this band broke up because they were just like, hey, it's, like, just time to, like, quit, you know? It's like, we've done what we can do. And I really love that. So, what I love about this is just really honest. But what do you hate about
it? Well, hold on. I want to touch about your passion project thing real quick, because... I mean, it proves it, because they hand stamped the first, what, 25,000 of these album or CDs, and then and signed, autographed all of them.
The person that, because they each did, I believe it was 500.
Yeah, 5,000.
But oh, they each did 5,000. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
they did 5,000.
You can't do math.
Yeah, I know.
Common core.
But
is that what the genre is? Common core.
Yeah,
it's not math core. It's common core.
But that's what I love about it. They stamp these CDs. I have one of them.
Uh-huh. You sent a picture of it. Yeah.
And, that was so
Wolf
cool.
Wolf is the one that, and the first, they did 300 of them that are red. So they were the pre-order red ones.
Yeah.
And just the fact that even 25,000 records that people, I think is.
Well, I think it's cool when
a shitload.
Has
I think
it's cool when a band puts that much dedication into their craft where they do something.
I love it.
For the people that support them, for one, but also when they add extra little things like it, like the album or the song titles, there's a hidden message in the song titles.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Thank you, Casey.
Yeah. I mean, just little things like that. Like whenever you guys did your albums back in the day, or Nine Inch Nails.
The end is nigh.
Yeah, near.
Near. And.
Well, nigh. Well,
no,
but
the end is nigh, and so am I.
Meaning near.
Yeah. So, these little things, like when Nine Inch Nails did the Halo thing on every one of their albums, there was a different Halo version or whatever. Just little tiny Easter eggs like that make it cool. And then also, this was the only release with Dan Vocke and Brian Russell on guitars.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird, because they have kind of a rotating door of members. It seems like there's like a ton of members when I went through there. Yeah. I was like, oh.
You asked what we hate about this?
Yeah.
There's nothing I hate about it. I don't get it, I think. You know what I mean? I like that. I feel like you're saying, there's hidden things in this. Mm-hmm. I think even in his like lyrics, there's like stuff kind of.
And his delivery and things like that as well.
Yeah, I definitely think you guys should check out the lyrics. And I think maybe check out the Fiance, which came, I believe it came before this one, which is their second record. Mm-hmm. And I think you might appreciate that one a little more. I think that's probably my favorite record by them. But I just wanted to give this pummeling. I mean, don't get me wrong. A lot of it is like this. But those breakdown little parts that you guys are talking mm-hmm. about, and the more little melodic parts that come through, they come through in later albums after this and the two albums before this. I'm sorry, Casey.
Yeah, no, there was, like Matt said, there wasn't anything that I hated about this. I think I got it. I feel like I got it. I would like to go back and read the lyrics. Like you said, I didn't get a chance to do
it. I think you'll like them.
Because
I read them. I just didn't, like, think about, you know what I mean? I suck at
I mean, I'm just saying, like, I guess everything kind of does make sense within this, right? It's an art piece. Like, mm-hmm. this album is an art piece. So you would look at everything to get like the art picture, piece yeah. because every album by them is an art piece. Like, you don't go like in Vacation, you know, the movie Vacation, where he goes to see the Grand Canyon. He's like, oh yeah. And you leave.
yeah. You take it in.
You take it in. So,
that's what this, okay. That's,
That's what this is. Yes.
Well, and it feels like that. Like
that, very much so.
It feels like it. Like there's a lot of like care. You can tell.
I also wanted to pick this because Casey has said this numerous times that I don't like music that changes a lot. And what? I think this kind of changes. I know you like music that changes. It's been brought up, but I wanted to say that. Anyways.
I was more talking about when they throw in like weird techno-y vibes with it, not just weird change-ups. Oh,
when they have
first of all, you said techno, of course.
Multi-genre. Oh, yeah.
We're just getting kidding. All techno from now on.
All techno.
All the kidding. Time.
So what would you guys rate this then?
So I gave it a 3.5. I really like this album. From the very first time I heard it, the first vocal kicked in. I was like, oh, this is going to suck. But then like it got through and I was like, I want to hear that again. There was something about it that kind of drew me into it. I'm with you. I think if I listened or read the vocals while I listened to it, it'd probably go up more once I understood the meaning of the songs a little more. But other than that, I love it. I love the ambient parts. I love all the little intricacies that they have and the change-ups and shit. It makes it really cool. It's a fun listen.
Well, yeah.
I think I tend to agree with you, Casey.
Yes.
I also give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Oh my gosh.
That's not great. It's good.
No, I think a 3.5 is a great...
3.5 is good. Real good.
Yeah.
Good. I'll
what
listen
I mean
to it
is again. Great. That I thought, you know... You pick stuff sometimes and
you're like, oh, this is close to me, my heart, and these guys are going to shit on it.
This kind of opened my eyes to similar music to this. Like, I got into Norma Jean. I want to talk to you guys about this afterwards. I finally listened to Converge.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I've
been missing out on some shit
what
here.
What did you listen to?
The first one, Jane Doe. Or not that's the first not, one.
Yeah.
But Jane Doe
is the one. Yeah. The masterpiece, they say. That's not my favorite.
Anyway, I don't mean to go on
a tangent. Okay, yeah, sorry.
And I agree with what you were saying, Casey, is it like kind of demands your to listen to it. I'd listen to it and go, that was weird. And listen to it again, I'm like, got more out of it. Yeah. Every time I listened to it, I would get more out of it. And I think I just need to like spend some time with it, like maybe years, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll go back to this.
Yeah, you wouldn't like listen to this on our.
It's hard to just like, you can't force feed this to yourself.
Well, this album requires you to give it just as much as attention as it's like dishing out to you. Like,
and we had time with it, and I would listen to it and be like, and like kind of step away from it and then listen to it again and be like, oh. And they like, even in my notes that I was writing, it would be like, I'd be like, fifth listen, I got this out of it. I'm like, five? I'm like getting new shit out of it, five.
Yeah, deep. Exactly.
And so this will probably my respect for this will go up. I don't think it'll go down. But right now, 3.5 out of 5. Interesting album, Nathan. Your pick, The Chariot.
Yeah. So I give this album 4.5.
Nice.
And I would probably give other records even a higher.
From The Chariot.
From The Chariot. And Norma Jean. Also had some really good records, specifically their first LP with Josh Scoggin. But I enjoy this record very much. I love The Chariot. And I just want to say that, like, whatever album you listen to, it won't compare to seeing them live. And if you were
fortunate enough
to see this band live, especially in a small venue... which most likely you saw him in a small venue. Like, props to you, dude. We witnessed something. We Are Blender Style. That was The Chariot. Wars and Rumors of Wars. Be kind to each other. I have no more beer.